From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Well, right whale conservationists have ended up exactly where they did not want to be, in an escalating battle between lobstermen and scientists. North Atlantic right whales are critically endangered. There are only about 400 remaining, and that number is falling. Entanglement in fishing gear is the leading cause of death. And in April of this year, a broad group of stakeholders agreed to new commitments to reduce the amount of rope in coastal waters, with the aim of cutting right whale deaths by at least 60%. But the Maine Lobstermen's Association has since withdrawn its support. Public officials from Maine have also chimed in, demanding science-based policies. Meanwhile, more than a dozen scientists have signed a letter asserting that the April agreement was based on the best science available. Fred Bever is a reporter who's been covering this issue for Maine Public Radio. Fred, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
This story, of course, goes back decades, but if we go back just a couple of years, first in 2017 and again this year, the summer in particular was very deadly. More than a dozen deaths in 2017, we're up to 10 this year, and a real sense of urgency that we could see this species go extinct within our lifetime. And so in April, this large group, the Take Reduction Team, got together and agreed to make some significant rule changes to try to address this situation. What was it they actually agreed to?
Well, first to describe the group briefly, it's made up of stakeholders from all sectors. It's lobstermen, it's whale scientists, it's federal and state regulators, it's conservation groups. They all got together under being convened by the feds to try to come up with solutions. What they came up with in Providence in April was this idea of reducing risk of not only mortality, but also serious injury to the whales by 60%, that if that could be achieved, then the whales would stand a chance of not going on this steady trajectory towards extinction.
And just to be absolutely clear, the Maine Lobstermen's Association had representatives at those negotiations and voted for this agreement, right?
There were four lobstermen. There were also some scientists, state regulator on the panel, and Patrice McCarron, who is the executive director of the Maine Lobstermen's Association. Now, although they agreed to it, they said, we are doing this under the gun. During that four-day meeting, a top federal official from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, according to the participants, told the entire group, you will reach 60% risk reduction or we will do it for you. Hmm. And so it was under that pressure that the Maine delegation, and they were very vociferous about this. They said, we don't like this, but we're going to do it. Some of them said, some of the lobstermen said, we think we can do this, but we reserve our right to come back at this, which made some of the conservationists not very happy, but it was called a near consensus.
Well, so that then triggered, this is a formal federal rulemaking process that includes a public comment period. And what we have seen during this public comment period is Maine Lobstermen's Association using that right that they said they reserved to come back to this. And in August into early September, Maine Lobstermen's Association withdrew their support. You said they were already, they had reservations, they did this under the gun, but what specifically did they cite as a reason for withdrawing support for the agreement they had voted for?
Well, all along, the Maine delegation has been expressing concerns about the model that NOAA introduced pretty late in the game, like not until early April or just before, that assesses risks and assigns different kinds of reduction benefits from different methodologies. And NOAA even now is still refining that and working on it. So right out of the gate, this was one of their big concerns. Since then, Patrice McCarron at the Maine Lobstermen's Association has done her own analysis, dug back into NOAA data, and she says it's flawed. She says that things were missed. Data was incomplete. For instance, there was one mortality of a whale that was attributed to lobster gear entanglement, but she says it actually was gill nets, and that can change the calculations. She has several other issues. She thinks that gill nets are actually a greater risk, and they're not getting enough attention. Basically, an array of issues. There's one thing that's important to understand in this difference in views between the lobstermen on one side and the scientists and the conservationists on the other, and it has to do with how you take a look at risk. The conservationists and scientists will tell you, basically, you have to assume that the whales could be present anywhere in the Gulf of Maine and that they are. And so even if there's a very small likelihood that a whale will end up in waters off of Maine, with all of that rope that's in the water, even one swimming through, if it just gets entangled in one rope, its risk of injury is very, very high. And you can't even lose one whale a year and avoid extinction. You have, according to the federal calculations, you can lose one whale every 2 years, and then it can stay on a path of sustainability. And we're far above that right now.
It seems to be that the Maine delegation across the board is saying we need different science that comes to a new conclusion. And the Maine Department of Marine Resources has actually gotten involved and proposed another different rule that would require that Maine lobster gear be uniquely marked so that it could be identified if it's involved in a right whale entanglement. What kind of response has that idea gotten?
Well, there was consensus at the take reduction team amongst all the states that this was something that needed to be done at this point. In the past, my understanding is that Maine has resisted unique gear markings. Now they're moving towards it. And I spoke recently to Genevieve McDonald. She's a lobsterman from Stonington, Maine, which is the king of the lobster boom. They're bringing in $50 million worth of lobster now that the population has really moved down east to where this island of Stonington is. And she's also a representative to the state legislature.
We need gear marking. I hate to say it, but the industry really didn't want gear marking. But I think we made a mistake by not having individual markings specific to our region.
And now the state of Maine has started its own rulemaking to enact those gear marking measures.
Well, and as you mentioned, some of Maine's elected officials have also weighed in during this federal public comment period about those federal rules that were proposed and agreed to in April, saying that what's actually needed is, quote, science-based policy, suggesting that this proposal that was agreed to was not science-based. But the same day that the Maine delegation put out that announcement, a dozen and a half scientists responded with a letter to Senator Collins reiterating the science that was involved in getting to that agreement and that underpins those proposed measures. And we spoke with Scott Landry of the Center for Coastal Studies. He says there's really good science behind the agreement. Obviously, we don't know everything, as you've highlighted. There are big questions that may be unanswerable because the gear is just not there to, you know, attribute blame for a given entanglement. But for example, the center did a study in 2005 that looked at all of the gear that they had found on both humpback and North Atlantic right whales and found that, in fact, the lobster industry is a problem. Here's Scott Landry.
And 40% of that gear was lobster gear for right whales. And so it's definitely the single largest amount of fishery that we've pulled off of right whales over the years. But of course, right whales got entangled in just about everything. But to state that lobster is not a significant portion of that would not be correct.
So obviously he's in support of at least what was agreed to, this aiming for a 60% reduction. But there was, interestingly, one person on that take reduction team back in April who did not vote for the proposed measures. That was Sharon Young of the Humane Society. And she actually didn't vote for it because she doesn't think it goes far enough. And you've spoken with her. She actually alleges that the Maine Lobstermen's Association's change of heart has largely been motivated by pressure from the Maine Lobstermen's Union. Let's hear from Sharon Young.
The time to have stood up and said, no, we can't support this, would have been in the take reduction team, rather than waiting till after the take reduction team, when the Maine Lobstermen's Union approached politicians and got political forces involved.
Fred Bever, you've already noted that the Maine Lobstermen's Association voted for the agreement, saying that they felt like they had a gun to their head. From your reporting, how much of a role has the Maine Lobstermen's Union, this other group, played in applying pressure and perhaps resulting in this public withdrawal of support?
Well, the union is smaller than the association, maybe scrappier, maybe a little more inflammatory. They were much more vocal at that rally in Stonington that I mentioned. And so there's friction between the two groups. And it's not something they like to talk to the press about, but you can see it in social media and elsewhere that friction is there.
Where does the process go from here? I mean, we've got these extreme tensions that you're mentioning between lobstermen in Maine and the rest of the take reduction team, potential tensions between the U.S. and Canada. There are multiple lawsuits being brought against federal officials, against the state of Maine, alleging failure to do enough to protect right whales. I mean, this is a very heated and complex mix at this point.
And those lawsuits are proceeding. A big one that was filed back in 2018 by several of the conservation groups, including Sharon Young's Humane Society, the Conservation Law Foundation, the Center for Biological Diversity, they all filed separate suits. They were consolidated in one that's now making its way through the courts. And many observers think that that's really what's putting the pressure on the feds to move this process along as much as anything. Whether the politicians here could bring any pressure in the Capitol to affect the process is an open question.
That's Fred Bever. He's a reporter with Maine Public Radio who's been covering the lobster fishing industry and efforts to better protect North Atlantic right whales. Fred, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.